I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast. This week, as part of our mini-series presented by Good Life Fitness about the inaugural season of PWHL and what this means in terms of glass ceilings being broken, I'm speaking with two executives from the You Can Play project, lead for corporate partnerships and pro female hockey player Mandy Cronin and chairman David Palumbo. You Can Play's mandate is to ensure safety and inclusion for all participants in sports with a focus on 2S LGBTQ plus athletes, coaches, and fans. Mandy joined You Can Play last year, bringing her experience as a former GM and goalie coach for the Toronto Six, where she was instrumental in founding a new women's professional hockey franchise. She's dedicated to fostering a sense of belonging in sports for everyone. David, as chairman, champions 2S LGBTQ plus inclusion and belonging within the sports community, driving initiatives that challenge traditional sports culture. Today, with Mandy and David, we're talking about how You Can Play is making a difference and the strategies that they're using to further their mission, as well as their thoughts on the newly formed PWHL and the impact this is having on women and 2S LGBTQ plus athletes. This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. This mini-series about PWHL's inaugural season is brought to you by Good Life Fitness. Since becoming an entrepreneur, I've discovered that regular exercise isn't just about staying in shape, it's also about building mental resilience. For me, working out has reduced my stress and improved my focus, making me more productive in every aspect of my life. I used to feel anxious about going to the gym, but connecting with a personal trainer and joining group classes has really helped. At Good Life, the gym can become your second space, a place to escape from the demands of home and work, connect with others, and just decompress. Working out transformed my well-being, and Good Life wants to help transform yours. For a chance to win a Good Life membership and experience what they have to offer in any location across Canada for a month, head to the Brand is Female's account on Instagram.
All right. Well, Mandy, David, welcome to the Brand is Female podcast. Thank you so much for making time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to talk about all things PWHL as we've been doing in this series so far. And this is a special conversation because you are both here to represent You Can Play. So I want to talk about how the organization's been involved. The creation of PWHL in the first season was obviously an important moment for your organization as well. But before we get into that, I always start these conversations by going back in time. So Mandy, I'd love to ask you first, growing up as a young girl, what kind of future were you imagining yourself in terms of a career?
Honestly, because I was a hockey player and this PWHL is the fruition of so many other iterations of it. When I was younger, I think I just thought I was playing for fun. And it wasn't until I was playing college that I found out that there was a pro league up here. So I'm from Maine. So I think my future goals didn't really start to evolve until I was playing college hockey because I didn't know it existed beyond that. Mm-hmm. So now seeing where it's gotten to, I know all the little girls, including my 7-year-old daughter, are very excited. And now they get to have that vision from 7 years old and younger,
yeah,
instead of starting in college.
And when you were thinking about hockey, so for you at that point growing up, playing professionally basically wasn't necessarily on your radar. It was more of an amateur career that you were thinking of.
Yeah, you know, at that point, you're trying to get a college scholarship. That's what most girls were trying to do. They were trying to play at the highest level of high school hockey and then hope to get a college scholarship and beyond there, try to make the national team. That was really professional hockey for me was USA Hockey, try to make the national team. That obviously evolved once I learned about former pro leagues that were existing here in Canada. And so I moved up here and 22 years later, I'm still here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think career-wise, I've always wanted to have a part in an organization like You Can Play because I always wanted to be able to do something to make life better for kids. And now with a wife and 2 kids, to be able to do it through sports and working to make lives better for young athletes, it's kind of the culmination. And my whole career was all hockey.
Yeah.
Now it's sports and making life better for athletes. And that's a very rewarding progression to my career.
And I'll say we're definitely grateful to have Mandy on our on our You Can Play team because she's been excellent since she joined us.
Love that. David, what about you?
I was not of the caliber, you would say, probably, that would think about pro sports. I grew up playing soccer, mostly, in Hamilton. And, you know, that was partly an affordability question way back. But it was just in terms of the sporting career, just being part of the development, being part of a collective, growing up as a gay kid that you knew you were a gay kid, especially in the 70s, you know, no internet to talk to people, no groups of people that were out that you could sort of share experiences and stories as a teenager or anything like that. So it was really about just belonging to a group of friends, you know, and much like the You Can Play mission where kids just drop out of sports because they're different. Mm-hmm. And different things happen in, you know, conversations on the field. And so the development really, and I think my journey through the sports world was just about belonging. Mm-hmm. And then as I got into later in my 20s, in terms of thinking about, oh, what am I going to do career-wise? And then, you know, going to school late, I think you spend a lot of time just trying to fit in mm-hmm. somewhere.
Right.
And that sense of belonging, and, mm-hmm. you know, and frankly, a lot of my 20s was just sort of staying alive in right. a way, right?
Yeah.
Like there was so much turmoil that then, you know, the You Can Play mission that came to be just over 12 years ago, then it's just, as Mandy said, just sort of a nice synergy with my professional life and now my interest in sport and bringing people together. So mm-hmm. it has been quite a journey, both for the organization and personally, because I still learn every day mm-hmm. from people. I learn from Mandy. I learn from everyone mm-hmm. in this connected ecosystem of sports.
And growing up for both of you, I'm curious to know who your role models were. And Mandy, with a career in hockey, I mean, there weren't that many women making it to certain levels, especially not with limited options when it came to professional hockey. But who was the source of inspiration for you?
You already said one of them, Manon Raymond.
Yes.
And I've actually tried to reach out to her a few times to get her involved with us, but I had her shirt when she was playing professionally. I wore it under my gear for all my games. Just seeing that she could do that, you know, that whole see it, be it, that became a vision of mine, whether or not I could get there, but it helped ignite the fire a little more beyond college hockey and realizing there was something more. And I would also say Kelly Dyer. She's not a name that everybody knows as much, but she was actually behind TPS hockey when they launched a female line of gear. And she played with the national team with Aaron Witten and all of them. Aaron Witten actually ended up becoming one of my Boston Blades coaches later on professionally. So these are women that blazed a trail. And just, again, me seeing them there, mm-hmm. both career-wise, you know, working for a hockey company, getting to make gear for women.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool to see that is something I could potentially do to do something beyond the ice. But I also love to coach, and I have always run a hockey business to just working with youth. And I don't just teach hockey at those. We always build everything else into it to let them see beyond the ice and know there's a lot more you can do. Like I said, I was GM and all of that to be able to do other things to have an impact on sports. And like I said, this was just, like you said, something I couldn't have envisioned happening, but yeah. a beautiful transition to be able to keep going with building sports and not mm-hmm. just on the ice, but the whole environment, making it a better place for everybody.
Who were role models for you, David? Yeah. And it can be in sport, they can be outside of sports.
Yeah, I would say probably during that time, it was sort of the coach yeah. at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And I think going through what's going on in your head, I was reasonably successful in my position play as I, you know, grew older. And so you had very good coaches in terms of supporting you, putting you out there, telling you you're doing well, like being involved in critical parts of a game. And so I think that just propels you. Mm-hmm. But I think I modeled myself after others in terms of friends or teammates. And I think that was largely because you didn't have an identity of your own
right.
in a way. And I think I spent a long time just searching for that. And you just sort of model yourself after what you thought comfortable with.
Yeah.
And even the friends that didn't know that you were gay, but, you know, they seemed to be a really good friend. And so you felt comfort in that. So you right. just wanted to sort of emulate what they would do, mm-hmm. all the good and bad that came from that. But I think coaches really were a really good piece of that structure. My family background, like my parents weren't as involved. Like dad worked, came home, provided for his family, didn't have time for, you know, things like in terms of on soccer field or not. My mom was a seamstress. And so it really was almost transplanted in a way to my soccer coaches that I kind of grew up with. Yeah. And each year, except for when I started playing a little bit more competitively, where there was a repetitive coach, mm-hmm. you know, year after year. But often you just got that benefit from the coaches seeing something in you and thinking, okay, hey, you're a good player. And you thought, oh, well, this guy likes me. This is good.
Yeah.
And so you feel that validation necessarily. And sports figures, everybody wants to, you know, I grew up a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of Boston Bruins that I would follow, you know, years and years and years ago. I got a Bobby Orr jersey for Christmas as a random distribution of three sweaters between me and my two brothers. I got the Bruins jersey.
Gotcha.
So it stuck. You know, I started playing defensive positions in like ball hockey. And so you always just sort of model yourself after players in those positions.
Yeah. And there weren't that many gay athletes who were visible at the time, right? And I think in both your cases, you know, male and female, when did you realize that, yeah, there's something missing from the picture here? And, you know, if I identify as a gay athlete, it means I'm not really seeing that be reflected in the world of sports. Was there kind of that realization at what point?
Yeah, I think just generally in the sports community, I think if we look at when Brendan came out in a very public display of being involved in hockey.
And that was in what year?
That would have been 13 years ago now, 14 years ago.
So not even that long
ago. Really. And when you think about the timing then, and Brendan's father, obviously Brian Burke, a very well-known hockey figure across the continent, but was in Toronto at the time, as with the Leafs. The real trajectory, I think, of the inclusion discussion really started to take off, thankfully, because of somewhat of the notoriety of the participants in that discussion.
Yes.
Brian was on TV and radio and doing discussions, you know, and everybody, of course, had the question, who's this gruff hockey guy that can't say two words without swearing his head off or will tell you to go to, you know, where, and then
what is he doing like, defending LGBTQ, right?
And I think a lot of us probably would have had that assumption is you just don't know, and growing up and now knowing them well and their family background, and you read his book about how he was with his family and how all of that didn't matter, right? And it's a really great leadership lesson. But you just realized how much of a staunch ally he was even before Brendan came out. Tragedy then, of course, that comes about just amplified that aspect of Brendan's leadership and how his vision for that sports community, not just hockey, just everything that he wanted to see from that. So really, when You Can Play was born after we lost Brendan, it really was that whole mission of just that inclusion, that spirit of belonging, that especially at the youngest levels where kids are leaving because they feel like they can't be a part of something.
Yeah.
Is often a lot of kids, even nowadays, they see sports as their tool for belonging.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their school kids and sometimes it overlaps. Or you see this group of kids and your friends once a week or maybe twice a week if you're playing more than just sort of house level in terms of, and it's just a part of your development. It really becomes that mission that's driven forward from that whole concept of belonging. So I think it was Brendan. Now, obviously there was LGBT inclusion discussions before Brendan, no question. And I think we've seen that largely thanks to our friends in the Olympic movement.
Yes.
There's PWHL, which is great, but even before our women's national soccer team naturally just were leaders from the very beginning, even when it wasn't really an official policy item or agenda at Canada Soccer.
Yeah.
But they thought, this is important to us.
Yes.
This is what we want to do as players. We own our own legacies, right? And so that's where I think it's gone. And, and 10 years ago, we wouldn't be having these discussions right now in sports, which is fantastic.
Exactly.
It seems like there's still sometimes we have to go one way or another, and that's fine. It's never a straight line, as we say on our teams. Like, there's always twists and turns and things, and some people say, oh, step backwards, step forward, but we're still moving forward. And I think you look at any pro league on this planet these days, or even college leagues, I'm proud, I think, of Brendan's legacy and his vision in terms of where we've cemented ourselves in that discussion, because front office teams are now full of inclusion and belonging experts or staffers that go to work every day. The leagues we deal with, the teams we deal with, every day now have people that are committed to saying, how can we do better? Where can we do better to have this discussion?
Yeah, they're having the conversation. Right. And Mandy, from a female standpoint, it seems like there were two obstacles, right? I mean, for LGBTQ women, not only you're a woman and you know that options are limited if you're trying to be a pro athlete, especially in a sport like hockey, and then there's not that much representation for LGBTQ athletes at the same time. Did that feel like the odds were stacked again? And I'm talking about you, but I'm talking about women in hockey in general.
I wouldn't say I ever felt like the odds were stacked against me. I think it's just that, how do you perform at your peak when you feel closeted? And I think in the women's sports world, there's enough of us that are in that space, but I didn't know anybody that was publicly out So for me, it was dealing with that in a sports space, but also dealing with that in a family space, being brought up Catholic, coming out to my family and all that. And I think that's another piece that I'm really bought into our mission that you can play, is that I did come up in a Catholic family, a big family, and had to go through the journey with them of this is who I am. And thankfully, my parents brought me up to be confident and, you know, provided me with a lot of opportunities to become a confident person. So then when it was time to come out to them, I said, Mom and Dad, here's who I am. I'm Catholic, but we're going to learn together on this. And I think what we're doing by educating coaches, parents, fans, they are all parents or aunts or uncles or siblings, in addition to their coaching jobs and their admin jobs. So now they're becoming better family members as well as better authorities within their sports space and helping to create cultures in sports, but also for their families. I think, and this is no blame to my family because they weren't educated on that at that time. Had You Can Play existed when I was 12 to 22, I think I still would have had the amazing experiences I had, but I would have been much more comfortable in my skin. I was dealing with trying to become an elite athlete and do all those good habits, but also know at home that I'm hiding something from my parents who are my best friends. So that was challenging. And so to know that I'm having any kind of impact on my own children, like I bring them to every event I can. Thank you. He always invites my daughter. My son's a little too young. He just turned 4. My daughter just turned 7. But so the late nights are a little more
difficult.
But they're a little easier for my daughter. So I try to bring her to all those, not just to see women in pro sports and for my son to see that too. I took them both to the WNBA game here.
Amazing.
Just to know that the women play on the same court or the same field and the same ice as the men, but also to see all the pride activations, the Blue Jays pride game. We helped TD with that. And for her to see everybody's wearing the rainbow hat. Who cares? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Everybody accepts. And for them to grow up in that, they will be able to show up authentically as themselves. Exactly. And I couldn't do that. So I think there were a lot of us within the dressing room that were already in that space, and we would talk about it amongst ourselves, but we couldn't talk about it publicly. And that really, it weighs on you whether you realize it or not. So to be able to be a part of this and share this, I think everybody says that when you're in a role where you're trying to have an impact on someone. If we go into a room of 100 and we impact 5 or 10, we've done our job. And then we continue to carry on. And hopefully that trickles down from sports to family and starts to affect the wider population of inclusion in sports, but also in life.
Yeah, it's a cultural shift that affects so many ecosystems.
It's a ripple effect,
This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise. And they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD Services for Women in Business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and they engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business. Thank you to Good Life Fitness for making this mini-series about women's hockey possible. When I started my fitness journey, I didn't realize how much it would benefit my mental health. The stress relief and increased focus I've gained have been incredible. Good Life Fitness offers personal trainers and group classes that help everyone overcome gym anxiety. The gym has become my go-to place to disconnect from work and home, to blow off steam, and to recharge. If you're looking for a way to boost both your physical and mental well-being, Good Life Fitness is the perfect place to start. Head to goodlifefitness.com and find a location near you to get started today. And if you'd like a chance to win a Good Life gym membership valid for 1 month at any location in Canada, head to the Brand is Females account on Instagram.
And you talked a little bit about the why behind the creation of You Can Play, but talk to me a little bit about the mandate for You Can Play. What kind of work do you do exactly? You've talked about some of the audiences and groups that you work with directly, but if you had to sum up the activities for You Can Play.
Yes. So I'd say in broadest of terms, we work to really create a safe environment of inclusion and belonging for anybody connected in the sports ecosystem. So if you're a participant athlete on a particular team, if you're a coach, if you're an official, but also importantly, if you're just a fan of the game, because what we see, you know, you mentioned even with the PWHL and all the great things that are coming up that, and, you know, we have the wonderful jacket making its rounds.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
At the end of the day, we still recognize there is still a lot out there. And to Mandy's point, there's general lack of understanding. Yeah. So what we engage in is trying to foster those discussions and create that culture both in the locker room and outside. Because as we all know, more and more people are becoming connected to the community.
Yeah.
Relatives, selves finding their own journey, feeling comfortable If we look at any pro player, and there's only been a handful mm-hmm. so far, but they've been so impactful. Mm-hmm. When a pro player has come out and said, this is me, I think the base case common factor in all of their coming out announcements is they say something like, I finally felt comfortable to share who I am and whatever timing it was, yeah. journey, whatever. In order to say that, you need that environment around you. Mm-hmm. You need your friends, your teammates, your family, everyone. And we've worked with a number of those athletes to say, okay, it's going to be okay without, you know, we're not an organization to push people out of the closet. That's not why we exist. We want to make sure that you just know that people have your back. And so those moments are still present. Those moments are still where, even in various sports teams where there's a predominance, say, of the LGBTQ community, there are people that still don't feel like they can do it themselves for a number of personal reasons. And we have to meet them where they are rather than drag them to our position, right? I think that's important. So what we engage in is those training mantras that Mandy mentioned, having visible vocal events by very visible and vocal partners and allies, because this is where we move the needle. It's allies being vocal and visible. Mm-hmm. So training resources, online modules, coaches trainings. We just recently did one with Canada Soccer with 50 different organizations across the province before the national team game a couple of weeks ago. Opportunity to really share what we can think of as far as best practices. And then that they take within their own organizations and take that message for us. You know, we're a very small and mighty team, thanks to people like Mandy, covering a lot of territory and a lot of ground. You know, we definitely punch above our weight, but we are able to connect with these organizations at any league, at any level as well, in terms of saying, this is what we're about. And it's been great to see that the corporate community, the sporting community has come to us saying, how can we help you?
Amazing.
Recognizing it's a long journey. Right? This is not an overnight thing. And we've been at it for over 12 years now. And I'm proud of the success in largely fostering that culture. But there's still a lot to do. As you said, Mandy, like, as long as there's still people who feel that they can't be themselves, then we have a job to do. And people may just assume it away and think everything's great, right? Everybody says, oh, this generation's great. But yet we have kids susceptible to bullying all the time.
I believe it.
And it's at a higher rate for the LGBTQ community. It's an alarming rate for the trans community.
Right.
And so we have that as our obligation. And I think where we can provide the best value for them is to just distill it to a point where they can digest it themselves in order to then be our on-the-ground trainers for themselves in their own locker rooms, in their boardrooms, everywhere.
And I'm seeing a shift. I love seeing so many Pride nights, you know, across different sports now. And obviously, this is the month of June, so we're seeing the excitement around this period of time. But have you seen a shift over the 12, 13 years that you've been in existence where maybe it's more teams or more leagues or more corporations now saying, no, no, we want to do something.
Sorry if I hop in there. I said, because you kind of touched on it, but my role didn't exist before. We're always relying on and being thankful for our sports partners. But just as we just announced today, I don't know if you've seen it, but Canadian Tire is our new corporate partnership. And to have, thank you. And to have Canadian Tire being such a big entity, helping us amplify our message across the country, and not just cross country. They're an NHL partner. They're seen everywhere. PWHL, like, they're everywhere. But to have corporations now, again, they are part of the fans. So when we go in, one of the first things I did when I came on board was go with our COO to Hasbro and watch an inclusive workspace training session. So now these are all fans of sports, parents of athletes. They themselves are athletes. So yes, they're in a workplace, which I think may have seemed a bit off. Like, why aren't we going with sports teams? Yeah. We're still doing that, but now we're also going to the workplace. And again, trying to reach more. And because all of them are maybe youth coaches, they may be in their dressing room. One of the potential partners I spoke with said he is a VP at a corporation. And he said, I play men's league hockey. And I am now carrying this training into my dressing room. And I'm correcting it in the dressing room when these grown men are using these words, because they think they're in a safe space to use those words. I'm in there now because I've been educated by you, and I'm changing that. So having that ripple effect beyond just a dressing room, a front office, but taking it into the workplace and educating them and just giving them the same type of training, the same type of lessons, best practices, all of that, but they can carry it beyond, and they're all sports fans or athletes themselves, and being able to carry that into more of their lives, like I said, it'll just have a much bigger ripple effect.
Yes, it's where you've been, so snowball or ripple effect that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing there's still challenges. You talked about how some people feel like, oh, we don't have a problem anymore. You know, we are having the competition in the open, but I was also seeing a lot more teams now who they'll use social media to show their support for LGBTQ athletes and Pride Month. And unfortunately, if you read the comment section or you see, you know, what's being said, the backlash is still pretty intense.
Yeah,
it's definitely, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere, unfortunately. And I think what we have to get ourselves into the mindset of is just realize that you're not going to get 100% of the people. You know, that's just not realistic, but that shouldn't detract us from what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when You Can Play started, one of our co-founders, Brian Kitts, was really of the thought that, you know, he said, hey, if we can just get maybe a couple NHL players to just talk about or make a comment and support, we would probably be miles ahead of where we were in the NHL. And we did that first face-off video where it was the, if you can shoot, you can shoot. If you can score, you can score. If you can play, you can play. And it just thankfully took off and people just really came to that message. And then it just built upon, obviously, beyond the NHL into other pro sports leagues, into collegiate levels. And I think that's really, you know, thankfully, obviously, to women in sports who were leaders in the inclusion profession for as long as I can remember, but also just the ability of athletes to find their own individual voice. They've started, and what we saw last year, even at the NHL level, and what we're seeing in the women's sports space now, especially over the last 18 months, is people are saying, this is important to me. This is what matters to me. And I'm going to tell you what I think because this sport is about me, right? And if you look at it, it's a sport by the athletes for the fans across the board. Whatever poor sport you're a part of, that's really the common thread. And so people, and to Mandy's point in terms of corporations getting behind that message, it's not just because it's the right thing to do. It's not because, oh, you know, this is a good business case, right? Like we shouldn't be talking about the business case for inclusion anymore. That's like, Google it. You should work. We've established that a long time ago. So what is it about? It's also employee resource groups. Raising their hand and saying, this is important to us, but it goes beyond that. And I think that's why sports is great at unifying the message, right? It is a great unifier. It transcends boundaries and borders and cultures. Look at right now, we've got Euro 2024 right on, and everybody, like the passion for sport to harness social change is a powerful one. So it is so powerful that that's where, you know, we need to just keep going. So over time, people have come to that message because they want to be more visible and vocal. And I can't think of any partner we have that has said, oh, we're good. We've done what we've done. You know, they're always coming.
What else can we do?
They get
the next calls, the periodic calls that we constantly do. It's always like, hey, how can we continue to move along? One of our longstanding partners, the Canadian Olympic Committee, for years, and they've been huge partners across the country. They help us with the Pride parades, marching with a ton of athletes, marshaling everybody. They always want to do more. And it's just that feeling that's definitely reassuring. As much as you say those responses on posts and the hate mail that we get, sometimes, you know, I look at my Twitter inbox and when you see, and then there's always ones that I go to, and large, you know, people say, well, why do you do that? Because every so often, there's someone that sends a supportive message, or it's a younger person, or it's my son came out, or my daughter, or I have a child who's transitioning. And those are the things that just make you keep going. So you get to ignore all the garbage in a way, and then just focus, okay, we're having an impact
on those
people.
But I think the hate messages also showcase the impact you're having. Because the message is visible and it justifies the mandate.
I think nowadays, probably over half of the messages that I get in the vitriol are about my pronouns. Because I have my pronouns in my social media feeds. And so it's always about he, him, idiot, or he, oh, don't worry, people, it's a he, him. So I never engage with any of those. As much as I want to throw something, I never do.
Not worth it.
Because we are having, and that's their only weapon, right? That's their spear that they want to come out. And so we've been benefiting from, in a way, that as well. Because people say, hold on a second, we're going to stand up to this. And so we're going to do more. And so every team, almost in every pro league, has an inclusion staff now. We didn't have that years ago. And even where it's not, where you can place front and center, that's great, because they've taken what we wanted to work with them on and started 10, 11, 12 years ago. And they've been able to create their own ecosystem for it.
Right.
And they've invited people into that discussion.
Yeah.
That's Brendan's mission.
Yes.
That is exactly what we're here to do.
You were talking about the inclusion aspect of sport and how it transcends everything. It's part of culture. And I think, well, it's amazing to me what's happening with women in sports right now, because it's kind of the ultimate overly male dominated sector. And now we're seeing glass ceilings be shattered in that space. So it's opening doors in every industry, in every category that's not sports. It's the business world. It's the consumer's world. It's culture in general. I want to talk about what PWHL's inaugural season means. And you obviously knew it was coming. You've been paying close attention to hockey specifically and pro women's hockey. What was your reaction when you found out PWHL was finally going to have their first season? And you've been part of professional leagues before the creation of PWHL. So what did it mean for you to see a league finally take off in that big of a way?
Yeah, I think it's been a snowball effect over all the iterations. I mean, I've been up here since the original, and NWHL played in that, played in the CW, helped found the CWHL, and then managed in the new NWHL. Just watching even the progression of fans in the seats, going from maybe 50 people to 150 people to 200 people to seeing, I played 10 years of pro, never made a penny, used my parents' air miles to get to where I needed to go. So to see even somebody making a $30,000 check, no, it's not enough, but that's progress.
That was already a big step.
Yes, that was a huge. And then to see six-figure checks being cut, for me, it was very rewarding to see that, whether I was a part of it or not, just to have been a part of it as a player, an athlete, a manager. So to see it get to that point, and it was at the right time, because when I was a general manager with the Toronto Six, that was the first time, and it was very rewarding for me personally to be the one that was bringing corporate partners in.
Yes.
Tire was one of them. Shoppers, yeah. To have them actually give us money. I mean, I'd cry, because I was like, we tried to do this for so long. We played in front of nobody, but those were the passionate people that were with us all the way.
Yeah.
So to see millions of dollars being invested in this now, it's incredible to see that. And then, like I said, I brought my kids to the WNBA game. It's to be involved with the people who are building the NSL, all of this. It's just very exciting to see and to know that the inclusion piece is just built in. It's just part of it. It's not even, there's no question asked about that. It's just built in. So to see where that's going. And this is just the start. And so for us to be able to do the traveling walk-in jacket with them and all of that is just very exciting to see.
So let's talk about the traveling jacket, because that was such a fun activation. Yeah, fun. And I think for everyone, what's been great too, you talked about players who are now able to be their authentic selves, right? They can be their full selves, not hide a part of who they are. And that's what's been great watching the players part of PWHL as well. We're kind of used to male pro hockey. Now we're discovering so many female hockey players. And they've built their social media presence, which has been such a big part of the branding strategy for the first season of PWHL. Mm-hmm. And then couldn't ignore the traveling jackets. I'd love to know the backstory.
Yeah, I just, because of my history with hockey, I'm very involved. I know a lot of the people that are either playing or managing or running the league, and seeing the, like you said, each of them building their social media following, seeing the walk-in jackets, seeing their attire, knowing that even their outfits are being sponsored. It's just very exciting to watch. Yeah. Talking to Carly Jackson, who is now a You Can Play ambassador, Jess Healy. These are some of the women that wore the jacket for us, having their following based on that being a piece of it, right? Getting to know them personally away from the ice. I thought, why not? Let's do a jacket. I think it'd be fun. And the excitement as we started to build the jacket with Ben from Genius Jacket, he's the one who's been building all those, showed it to some of the girls that were going to wear it. And they're like, oh my, this is awesome. And showing it to some other people too, just to get feedback on the design, working with the league on where the logo would go, all of that. I think I was just kind of like praying that it would go well. And it just seemed to pick up steam as it went. Got to say thanks to Brian Burke, because he helped us move the jacket. He flew to Minnesota, handed it off. He would carry it and pass it off. So he was very, very helpful there. But yeah, it's very exciting. And now actually, I think Brian, he bid the highest on it. He wanted to make sure that had good presence. So
we're hoping. Pricing.
Yeah. He was very helpful, but also wanted to make sure it was in a place where it got a lot of visibility. So it was very exciting. And to have all those women jump in and say, we want to wear this and give visibility to this project and to your brand and to your mission. Mm-hmm. For them to do that, they didn't have to do that. They could have said, no, we don't want to align with that. But for one player from each of those playoff teams to wear it and give visibility to the entire PWHL audience, that was massive. So yeah, it was really exciting.
I loved the idea. It was great. Visually looked really good.
It did.
The thing I loved about it, and you mentioned about, male dominated sports and everything, for as long as we can remember, there's always the parade of athletes walking in yeah. in a hockey arena. Yes. And they're like, oh, wearing this suit and that, okay, whatever, yeah. right? And the guy's yeah. got a hat. Yeah. And everything. It's all very much this male sort of fashion show. Mm-hmm. So to see the women's in the PWHL, and they're in there, and you see like some, they're slow, yeah, it's the slow strut on yes. slow motion, and they're just walking yeah. in, and they've just got the best smile. Yeah. They're just walking yeah. in, they're happy, they're like, hey, this is cool. Like yeah. just to see that, to yeah. be like, ah, I think we could do this better than you guys.
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
you flip and you flip and you flip, and then there's one with the jacket, which just looked great, and everybody's, they mm-hmm. took to it so well. Mm-hmm. And it's great because they took to the message mm-hmm. of what it stood for.
Yeah.
And it's them walking in authentically as themselves. Right. So many of them right. now have the visibility on themselves as well. Mm-hmm. Carly Jackson being one of them. Like, she has someone that makes her outfits for her. She had someone made her Pride Day outfit for her. Just that they can now speak for who they are
yeah.
without words. Just, look, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to be who I am. And I'm yeah. comfortable because hockey, women's hockey in general, has created a space for me to feel comfortable yes. and feel welcome. And I, that's huge.
And with support from their entire team as well, right? Really
and audience.
Because I remember in pro hockey, there's kind of this misconception, or maybe it was an actual thing, but you know, you played for a team. There was no space for individuality. And yes. I think that was probably part also of kind of the stigma yes. around speaking out if, you know, about being gay and coming out of the closet. But now with what we're seeing, you know, that concept's completely been shifted and everyone's very supportive of, you know, yeah. who each of them are as individual beings. Yeah. And they're not afraid of speaking up and having their own opinions too. How do you see that, Manny? Because you grew up with professional leagues at different iterations yeah. and it wasn't the case necessarily 15 years ago.
There wasn't social media. There wasn't a platform to publicly be yourself. I mean, yeah. it was just walking into the arena. Nobody's yeah. watching you walk into the arena. You're walking yeah. in the back door with your bag on your shoulder.
Speaking to journalists, but again, there were very few covering
even then
female hockey.
There weren't even journalists at our game. I mean, maybe they came to speak to the Olympian, maybe. You know, yeah. One okay. or two Olympians that were okay. on each team. But the rest of us were just Joe Schmo walking in with a bag on our shoulder. But even that says something. These women aren't even carrying their bags in. Someone else is right. carrying their bags in. That being in the trenches behind this all the way through, even that, like they're walking in, getting off their bus and walking to the dressing room. Mm-hmm. They don't have to carry their bag. They don't have to set up their equipment. Someone else is doing that. That, even that alone is a step towards professionalism for women's sports.
Right.
And it's all those pieces allow them to feel professional. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel professional walking into community center arenas to play our pro game, mm-hmm. carrying our own bag. Nobody's caring what we're wearing at the time. So for them to being able to wear that what they want, have it be visible, be their authentic self, it's the visible piece of it. There's so much behind it
yeah.
that's had to happen, not just for the professional aspect, for them to feel professional,
yeah.
To be supported by their staff in the investment, but also just to have that platform to be able to do it and feel included and feel safe to be who they are. And you're always going to have the haters as you're speaking to your Twitter or your ex account, excuse me. But it's the same for me trying to find corporate partners, anybody who wants to give me a call, but it's more trying to find authentic partners.
Right.
I was just having this conversation at our announcement event that I've only had one call in the year I've been on board here that I was like, okay, this isn't a good fit. That's mm-hmm. okay. I'll let you come back to us.
Right.
They wanted me to come back to them. I said, no, you come back to me when you're ready because yeah. we're here and we've got other corporations who are doing this.
Yeah.
I want to work with companies like Canadian Tire, who they're excited. I can see it on the Zoom calls. I can hear it in their voice.
Yeah.
And how do we do more? How can we engage?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of partners we want because they're going to help us grow our mission, amplify it, and yeah. create more safe spaces for female and male and yeah. any gendered athlete to feel safe in their skin and, yeah. and be able to show up as themselves. And they'll always perform better, whether it's on the ice, off the ice, whatever. They'll always perform better that way.
Yeah, it's great to see the PWHL games in terms of the fan base mm-hmm. that has been cultivated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The level of excitement, the noise factor. Can you imagine if it was in a stadium twice the size?
Exactly.
You know, no offense to Leaf fans where sometimes games are a little quiet. I haven't seen a PWHL game that hasn't just been raucous.
Yeah.
And I think that is like, hey, this is happening. This yeah. is great. And I think PWHL is a great example of where the trust factor can go in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
right? And you mentioned about being able to have that safe space and being able to be yourselves in authenticity. The PWHL, and again, women's leading the way is different. I think we still have a ways to go on the male side of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a trust factor, mm-hmm. right? You won't know how to react or speak up, as you mentioned, if you don't know what the reaction is going to be. Mm-hmm. And we always skew negative, right? Even our own coming out stories for mm-hmm. those that have hit that mark, you always think of the worst.
Yep. Right, right.
So if you're a player on a team and you want to put your hand up and say, that's not right or whatever, and then you're worried about, oh, people are going to jump on you for being the ally, you naturally will hold back. Mm-hmm. Or if you are wanting to share some personal news, mm-hmm. what that reaction is going to be. The women's side of sports seems to have, and maybe this is a whole other podcast on male brains versus female brains.
It's
and what they say, you know,
it is.
If you need something done, get a woman to do it. But if you look at the progression of the LGBTQ inclusion discussion, female sports has been far advanced because there has been that trust factor amongst themselves, not just in the locker room, mm-hmm. but if you look at our national teams or the front offices of the PWHL teams, mm-hmm. it's different than, say, the board of governors at the NHL in terms of who's making these decisions,
right?
And so there is that environment that people trust. Mm. They know that people have their backs. And if there's a disagreement or whatever, they will have what will be probably a very civilized discussion as to why it matters to them.
They'll be heard.
We do have a ways to go,
yeah.
quite frankly,
yeah.
in male-dominated sports areas, yeah. no question. Mm-hmm. We've made a lot of strides, but it's that trust factor.
Yeah.
And so it really is coming back to all about the allies in the room, mm-hmm. the allies out there, the allies with a platform,
yeah.
The allies that can sit there and say, hey, you should be talking about this. You should be thinking about why. It's not just your two-way conversation mm-hmm. in the locker room that you think is just a joke between yourselves,
yeah.
right? Because third person sitting just two seats away hears it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've got something to share, you can be 100% certain they're not going to anytime soon.
Right. Yeah.
And so the PWHL can, even though it's relatively new
mm-hmm.
and it's a young league, it has a lot of veterans and it has a lot of similar-minded people and experience like Mandy's, they've lived that journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that forms the basis of how they want to operate as a yeah. collective league.
Right.
And that is very powerful.
Yeah.
What do you think is the next big frontier, the next big goal, the next big glass ceiling, you know, you're targeting? We've seen, I mean, women's sports now, the past 6 months have just been unbelievable. PWHL, their success, you know, mm-hmm. breaking all records for attendance, filling large stadiums. WNBA is coming to Toronto, the new soccer league. We're seeing WNBA numbers explode in the US as well. And even speaking to pro male leagues and sports in general, we're seeing a bigger share of attendance be women, be LGBTQ as well. And they're kind of shifting the way they're, you know, even how brands partner with these organizations and kind of addressing these new customer segments is really shifting, which helps the conversation. But what's next? What are we trying to break in terms of stigma or, you know, behaviors that we're trying to address? Have you kind of identified what you'd like to see happen next?
So I would say that next frontier definitely is full equality,
mm-hmm.
both paying women
yeah.
what they deserve,
mm-hmm.
Obviously bringing more sponsors to the table. And we've got huge lead sponsors in this country that have gotten behind pro women's sports and investing in women just generally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Canadian Tire's devoted 50% of all their
such an amazing
their
statement
sponsorship dollars.
That made, yeah.
And they're making, they're walking
they're,
the talk.
Yeah, they right? really are. Amazing. They're everywhere.
It used to be.
This is not sponsored by Canadian
No, it's not. But then you can't help. They're just, everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere you go.
It used to be that the inclusion discussion when it came to sports is just about, oh, how can we sell tickets mm-hmm. to a community that we want to feel welcome?
Right.
And so there would yeah. be a discount code.
Yeah.
There would be, oh, come to our Pride Night.
Yeah.
Now it's really about when you realize who's in the front office, who's on the team, who's
yeah.
coaching,
yeah.
Who are the officials, mm-hmm. who's in the broadcast booth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say the Olympics coming up in Paris.
Yeah.
CBC Sports has two out open visible gay members of the community be hosts.
Amazing.
We've got Anastasia Bucius,
yeah.
who's going to be doing the morning show
mm-hmm.
for Paris for CBC Sports, and then Devin Harrow, who's doing the evening. That is huge representation.
Yeah.
And it's
both big longtime supporters, but you can play.
Absolutely. You know, both ambassadors is great, but having that on your screen
yeah.
and I can tell you, you know, they're definitely going to have that lens for themselves too, the stories that they tell.
Yeah.
So the next sort of goal is just really where we're just continuing on this equality mm-hmm. journey mm-hmm. and welcoming more people to the conversation. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The corporate side, on the sports side, there are leagues that are doing great things, mm-hmm. but none of them have said they're going to stop mm-hmm. anytime soon. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So the frontier for personal side of things in terms of athletes is that space where everybody who wants to share news mm-hmm. can also use that statement about, I finally felt comfortable to tell you this, and they have that ability to do so. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to work for. As I said, we're not going to push anybody out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And there are people, I'm sure, in this day and age, and right now, as we know, there's definitely a lot of members of the community that haven't come out and pick any sport. Mm-hmm. That's not the end goal. Really, it's just how can they play better as themselves, mm-hmm. even knowing that there'll be people, if for whatever reason, someone outs them or they have something happen, that people will support them, mm-hmm. that a coach will come and say, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I need you to play well today. You know, I need you to throw that touchdown. I need you to mm-hmm. stop that penalty shot. I need you to do what you're on this team to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the frontier that we will strive for.
But I think it's the Pride 365. We talk about it a lot in our partner conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think having those conversations and transitioning some of the partners from just doing a Pride activation, mm-hmm. you know, a Pride night to Pride 365. Mm-hmm. So I was mentioning Hasbro. I went in and it's kind of a cool way for them to do it. They have this inclusion sign and they use their toys. You know, Bumblebee the Transformer was the yellow, using their toys to have a visible rainbow, but it's not a rainbow. It's not a Pride flag. Mm-hmm. But it's got the word inclusion and it's got their toys and rainbow sign. And now every employee that walks in there, every guest like myself that walks in there, they know. I knew right away what that was telling me, right. that this is an inclusive and welcoming space.
Right.
I didn't need to see a Pride flag that says, we welcome you.
Right.
It was just, it was a visible sign that's there 365 days of the year, and then providing this training. And then maybe there's an event later in the year, and doing it in October and doing it in January and not just in June, and trying to help our partners. We'll welcome you. If that's all you want to do is just get your foot in the door and do a Pride activation. Yeah. Awesome. We're going to start there.
Yeah.
Like, you're sure we're going to keep coming back to you.
Yeah.
We're going to try to build this out. So you're doing that year round because, again, whether they're a sport partner, mm-hmm. and that's naturally where we are. We're trying to improve the culture of the sporting environment, the dressing room, mm-hmm. but that spills over into the corporate world, into you are a parent, you are a sister, you're a brother, you're whatever you are. It all carries over. So I think that is an evolution for me. And my role is to try to help partners figure out how to do this year round so that it becomes not just a drop in the bucket. Because again, if I want to come out or I want to tell you about my brother, whatever, but I hear you having that conversation over there and I hear you say, well, a slur, maybe another day I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But if I see like my company or my team does this every day, mm-hmm. I see it and I know I'm supported, I'm gonna be way more comfortable to come and talk about myself or just be myself, not feel like I have to be out, right? Because straight people don't have to come out, right? So just being able to show up as yourself, mm-hmm. that's huge. Mm-hmm.
So I usually end these interviews by getting my guests' advice. We speak to a lot of women in business, women entrepreneurs, women leaders. But in this case, I want to ask you if you had to share two pieces of advice to individuals who find themselves maybe in a position where they can't be authentically themselves. And it can be in sports, it can be in business, but what would you have to say to them?
Two tips I would give if you feel like you can't show up authentically as yourself, I think, are to find your colleagues, your friends, your community that helps you to feel yourself so that you can show up authentically as yourself. It may be hard in the space that you're working. Maybe you don't feel like you have the support, but if you can find that in your community, in your family, that will help you to have the support you feel you need. And being able to have outlets, I think, would be the second one, because it can be frustrating. I've been there where I felt like I couldn't be myself. And being able to have your outlets, whether that is going to play men's league, women's league sports, whether it's taking a boxing class, whatever it is, to have your outlets to make sure your mental health is preserved, that you're getting what you need physically, emotionally, mentally, and finding your community that will help you to continue to feel like you can be yourself and your best version of yourself for your own personal growth.
I would say it's important to know that you're not alone, that there are people that see you, that it may not be immediate right now, or you may feel like there's a long journey ahead and it's going to be difficult, but you're not going to be on that journey alone. It will get better. These things do have a way of panning out with those vocal invisible allies around you. Look for the clues, look for the markers of those people that are putting their hands up and saying that they want to help, and reach out to them. Reach out to organizations like You Can Play, where we can help you, and not to get you to a point any quicker, but to really meet you on that journey and give you whatever support we can. You are not going to go through this alone. That is one of our main tenets of our mission.
Mandy and David, thank you so much for speaking to me today. This has been extremely insightful. Excited to see everything else that You Can Play is going to achieve. And it's such an exciting time for inclusion in sports. Congratulations for all your hard work. And also excited to see if the jacket comes back
for season two of PWHL.
Oh, I hope it does.
Yeah.
Or a new version of it.
I think it'll be a new version. Yes.
I think we'll kick up the style even further.
Yes, I think so.
There's going to be mine. Yes. Yeah.
No, but thanks for the platform to have this discussion. I appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Brand is Female podcast. It means a lot if you subscribe to our show, leave us a review, and engage with us on social media. A huge thank you to our team who makes these episodes possible. Lina Orbegozo Espinosa is our sound engineer. Jacqueline Cohen is our assistant producer, and Naomi Kixmuller-Gosley is our senior PR manager. This special PWHL miniseries was also supported by Britt Gawley of Founders Media. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of the Brand is Female podcast. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to TD. Talk to you next week.